Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands. Listen.
He sees.
He sees the tears you cry.
And he shares.
He shares your pain inside.
And sometimes
you wonder why
he allows
you to go through what you go through.
What you go through.
Well, listen.
Just know
he has his hand on you.
That's a good place to slip up those hands and give him some praise. Oh, I can't get no help with him. That's a good place to bless him. Listen, listen to the words.
See your days.
Your days are filled with dark clouds.
Even when the sun is up, yes it is. And from the top of your
lungs, you shout.
Oh, can I tell you one thing? Remember, just know
he has his hand.
He has his
hand on you.
Yes, he does.
He said
he'll see you through. And when you cry, he's holding you. So just for he will provide, yes he will, yes he will. Just know he has his hands on. Sometimes you feel so alone, like a child lost and no home. They keep telling, but you stay when will it end? When will I win? That's what I want to know. But just know he has his hands. He has his hands on you.
He has his hands on you.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. There to see you through. And when you cry,
he's holding you.
So you can just lift your hands up. He will heal. He will provide. No.
Amen. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to talk to you. It's a blessing to, amen, just be in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. I'm just so grateful. Amen. I woke up this morning healthy, healthy, healthy. Amen. The little things that we just take for granted. Amen. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, March 29th, I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 3, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by, I'm not going to call him the good brother today, I'm going to say the lifeline. The blood, the one that makes things move around here, Hakeem Nuba. Blessings to you, sir.
Hey, hey, good evening, sir. Blessings back at you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, man. You know, I tell you every Sunday, dog, what will we do without you, brother? We can't. All that you do, man, it's just I wish that the people knew all that you do, you know, to make these shows run and to keep them running, man. We just... You know, man, if I had $1 million, like, I'd put it right in your hand, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To my family, to my friends, to my loved ones, which is everybody, this is, I love everybody. And to you, if you are in need of prayer, if you are in need of anything that I can do for you, you can always contact us through the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. The group page, amen. Amen. Jubilee Affair, the group page, amen. Shout out to the group page. You can always tweet the HubNet Online Network, but the quickest way is to call the show. That is 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. And you press the number 1 and you can talk to Brother Hakeem and myself, amen. We always look forward to talking to you, amen. And I'm just, again, I'm just so grateful and so thankful because God didn't have to do it. You know, I've just been sitting here thinking about all the things that God has done in my life in just a short couple weeks. And I know we're all on quarantine, we're all on lockdown. From what I just saw, that the president just extended it, amen, for a little while longer. But God is still blessing us. God is still blessing us. So I'm just amazed. I'm just grateful. I'm thankful. He always looks out for us. No matter what goes on, he looks out for you. And this is the time that you are to see God's hand moving in your life. This is the time. Amen. I am, as you can tell, I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm full of joy. I am just overjoyed with everything that God is doing and everything that has been happening in my life and in yours, amen, because when I look back and I hear God moving in your life, it is a testimony to me, because I tell you that God can move, and when God moves and you tell me that God has moved in your life, it reaffirms in me what I preach every day. Amen. I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. I do believe that prayer changes things. I do believe that without prayer, we can't get anywhere. Amen. Let's go to the throne of grace. Eternal Father, we stretch our hands to thee, Father. No other help do we know. Grant us, gracious Father, the ability to see your movement in the midst of chaos. Grant us, Father, a spirit of praise. Help us, Father, to understand and to know that you are on the throne, and that you will see us through any situation that comes upon us. I personally thank you, Father, for you are a good God. As my mama always said, you sit high, but you look low. And I thank you. I ask for continued prayers and blessings, Father, on Brother Hakim. On everything that he touches, Father, let it be pure gold. I pray also for Sister Michelle, who is always finding new ways to bring this network to higher heights. I pray for all my listeners right now, for those who will listen and those who have a desire to listen. I pray for all my new listeners that's coming in. I just thank you. Now, Father God, touch me, your servant, Father. Bless me, Father, in a mighty way, so that I may proclaim your word to your people. And let somebody today be saved, Father. I just thank you. And I honor you. And indeed, Father, I do love you. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. As you all know, I always take out time for you, the listeners. For those of you who have questions, and I try to the best of my ability to answer them. Sometimes they get a little frustrating, but I do my best, because I do believe that an informed Christian is a great Christian. Too many times we're not informed, whether it's due to our own lack of ambition or someone else's. So I do believe that by answering your questions and always know that there is no dumb question. Amen. I try to answer every question that I get. Now, there are some times when it's a repeat, and I'll personally respond to that person. But again, just know, if you have questions about the word, about the church, it is my duty, my job to answer them. Amen? So I do have a list of questions here. The first question is, hello, Pastor D. I have been a Christian for a long time, and I have learned a whole lot from listening to your show. I thank you for always answering questions. I thank you for always listening to your people. But here's a question that I have. Why do people believe that baptism can save them? Well, I think that people believe that baptism can save them because it was they saw it as something that Jesus did. And so because Jesus did it, we do it. It is a holy sacrament. Baptism and communion are holy sacraments. They are the two things that every Christian should partake of. Baptism itself is a washing. It is an outward expression of your inward faith. It is the washing away of the old person and bringing forth a new person. It is a physical symbolization, but plus it is spiritual as well. But it's showing that you are intending to lead a new life following Christ. Now, here's the thing. From a spiritual standpoint, you are already cleansed once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are cleansed by the blood of Jesus that is poured upon you, thus you are clean. And the reason why I'll say that, and the reason why I know that to be sure, is because if one dies before their scheduled baptism, and they have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they still go to heaven. They still are allowed entrance into heaven. So baptism cannot save you. Baptism is not the way to heaven. It is just an expression of your faith. For a baby is concerned, it is shown, it is the expressed faith of the parents saying that, God, you have given me this child, but I give this child back to you, that you will protect this child, that you will guide this child, and you will give me the means to protect and guide this child. Amen. So baptism itself cannot save you. The only thing that can save you is the expression of your faith through Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ lived and that he died and that he rose on the third day, thou shalt be saved. Amen? So you have to know that baptism cannot save you. Baptism is an expression of your faith, but it cannot save you. And it cannot take you and usher you into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The next question is, hello, Pastor D. I follow you. I see all the posts that you put up. I see everything that you do, even for your church outside of this radio show. But my question is, do you ever get tired of serving? Do I ever get tired of serving? No. I cannot get tired of serving. That is my life. It is my job. It is my calling. Serving people is what brought me to where I am today. Do I sometimes get a little weary? We all do. We all get weary, and we have to go to God to recharge our battery. We have to take vacations to charge our battery. We have to do things outside of our act of servitude to recharge our batteries, whether it's spending time with your loved ones, whether it's taking a nice long walk, if it's taking a vacation, if it's whatever it may be, whatever you have to do, you have to be able to fight off weariness. But what I'm saying to you is, no, I never get tired of serving. Because without the ability to serve, I'm nothing. I have nothing. And I am nothing. So, servitude to me, serving the people, serving the church, is what I want to do. And it's all that I ever want to do. Some want to understand it. Some don't agree to it. Some try to look above it. But this is who I am. and I would give my life for the people who didn't understand and appreciate God and Jesus. And still to this day, I will give my life for the people who didn't appreciate Jesus and who don't understand the works of God. That's just who I am. I'm not a Messiah, never claimed to be. I'm just a man with a calling trying to do God's work. Amen. The third question is, hello, Pastor D. Do you feel that the church is on a decline? The church is not on a decline. Actually, we are about to bust the seams wide open. Yes, I am aware that this is a post-Christian society and nobody wants to see the beacon of light anymore, because most people like to hide in the darkness, because hiding in the darkness takes away the ability to have your sins seen by others. But I have a feeling that the church is about to be bust wide open. Because, and you're going to have new Christians coming into the faith, new believers coming in asking, what must I do to further the kingdom of God? You're going to have new people coming in saying, I'm ready to serve, I'm ready to work, I'm ready to do whatever I need to do to secure my future in this Christendom. While the older generation teaches the younger generation and teaches them the respect of the church and the respect of each other. And the young ones are going to come in and they're going to carry on the banners. Decline? No. Not at all. But we will bust the seams wide open. But it starts with you. If you think or feel that the church is on a decline, then it's time that you be the change that you expect to see. Be the change that you expect. Be the change that you want. If you see something that needs to be done differently in a church, be the change. Be the change. That's the only way. That is the only way that change will start. It's up to you. You see, we can all sit here and talk about, oh, the church is this, oh, the church is that, oh, the pastors, pastor this, pastor that. Be the change. Be the change that you want to see. When it starts with you, it'll be like this virus here that we're dealing with. It'll be infectious and it'll just spread. Be the change. Amen. For my last question, hello, Pastor D. Thank you for taking this question, and I mean it with all sincerity. I just really want to know. What happened to us giving sacrifices unto God, and why did it stop? Okay. The sacrificial system that God put into place was one that he did for Israel so that they could atone their sins. They had burnt offerings, they had grain offerings, they had all type of offerings, sin offerings. But when Jesus came, he was the head of the offering. If you look at, let's look at a pyramid. A pyramid has, let's say the food pyramid, how it has different levels of different things, the bread, the fish, the meat, the lamb. And let's say this was a pyramid of all the things that Israel had to do and sacrifice in order to appease God. So at the very peak of the pyramid was the lamb. And it wasn't, nobody could get to this lamb until God said that it was time for the lamb. This particular lamb was the lamb that could fix everything. So when Jesus came into the picture and he gave up his life and his blood, his precious blood was spilled, this is why you hear people call him the ultimate Lamb of God. Thus, because he was the ultimate lamb, when his blood was spilled, it did a trickle-down effect on all the whole pyramid, cleaning everything and breaking the system of sacrifice. So now the one and true sacrifice that was made was that of Jesus Christ. Thus, no longer do we have to offer sacrifices unto God, because the one true sacrifice was given. That was the blood of Jesus, the only blood that could cleanse all things. Amen. As I told you, I'm here to answer your questions. I appreciate your questions, and I really do love them, because, amen, because it keeps me on my toes. Amen. So thank you for your listeners' questions, and I pray that I have answered those questions to the best of my ability for you. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to discuss them with you. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, again, Father, I thank you for this appointed time and this appointed place. It's me, Father, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase, more of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For a subject today, what does God say? Again, this week I'm not going to come to you with a written out sermon, because I need some people to open their ears. I need some people here to stand on their word. And I need some people here to understand who you serve. Just for scriptural reference, I will use Psalm 24 and 1. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. When you think about what's going on today, the panic, the scare tactics, it's easy for one to lose their faith. It's easy for one to hold on to what man has to say. It's easy for one to step back into the darkness. The fear of death scares a lot of people. But what does God have to say about it? When I think about what's going on now, when I think about the end of Lent, I am blessed because Lent gave me the ability to put one part Lent, one part life, and to think about the equal, the reflection. Thus, what does God say about it? God tells me that you do not have to worry about the things of this world. Why would you, my creation, worry about something that your loving God created? If you consider me to be an all-loving God and I created this world, then why are you worried about the things that happen in this world? Oh, come on, somebody. Why are you worried about what's going on? Why are you worried about what you see before your eyes? Why are you worried? Because I have already told you that you will be victorious. Deuteronomy 28:6 says, you will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. I'm here to let somebody know today that you are blessed regardless to what goes on. You are blessed regardless of what we have before us. You are blessed regardless of what you have been through. You see, too many times we worry about the things that we cannot change. We worry about the things that we cannot fix. We worry about the things that have gone beyond us, and yet it still tangles us up. But God is saying, I have blessed you. I have given you the things to be, I have given you the tools to be blessed. And why do you hold on to the baggage when I have already given you everything that you need to be successful, when I have given you everything that you need to be victorious, but yet you still taking your eyes off of me? What does God say? God says that we don't have to worry about no virus. God says that we don't have to worry about no issues. God says that if it came upon you, I can guarantee you next I'm going to heal you. So all we have to do is stay the course in every area of our lives. There are times that I don't want to be here, but guess what? I'm here because I stay the course. There are times that I know where I want to go outside and do things that Dante may want to do, that the flesh may want to do, but you know what? I don't, because I stay the course, because I know that my God told me that if I just hold on just a little while longer, he'll fix it. Psalm 68:19 says, praise the Lord who carries our burdens day after day. He is the God who saves us. You see, the reason why right now we're so engulfed with this coronavirus is because we haven't seen nothing like this in a long time. Yes, we've had the H1N1, we've had the swine, we've had all of these other things, but nothing has brought us to our knees like this in a long time. And thus, you are allowing this virus and the issues of life to hold you down, but I'm here to let you know that Jesus said, even when Lazarus was in the pit of hell, when Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Well, not in the pit of hell, forgive me, but when he was in the tomb and he brought him out, right there he defeated everything that could affect the human body. Everything that came upon us. And he said, loose him and let him go. Jesus has defeated everything that we know right now that's trying to attack the body, that's trying to attack our spirit, that's trying to bring us down, that's trying to keep us down, that's trying to show you that there is no way out of no way. I guarantee you and I urge you and I challenge you to give your life over to Jesus, and you will see where God God has to say. At that moment, God will bless you, God will heal you, and God will hold you up. But I urge you right now to let go of the things that are causing you to not see the light. Many times we mess up because we stop running the race of faith to look back at our issues, past regrets, past hurts, problems. We all have them. We could all sit down and have a pity party together. Lord knows I have a bunch on my heart. But I will not stop running this race. Because God told me so long as I run, as long as I run, that he will see me through. He will see me through. Psalm 37:25, my favorite, says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The Lord has you. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will see you through. And the Lord will bless you. But you have to do your part as well. You see, we constantly always asking God to bless us and to hold us up. But we never give God the praise. We never give God our time. We know when God says, I need you to give a little bit more to the church, we hold on to our little money like it belongs to us. But God is saying, but on the next breath, you're saying, Lord, remember me. When you see my people out here hurting and starving, but you cling on to your stuff like it's all yours. What does God say? God is saying enough is enough. Where are my people who are called by my name to do the work that I've called them to do? Preachers, you're going to always be attacked by something. You're going to always have something thrown in your face. You're going to always have past regrets thrown up at you. A would've, could've, should've. Oh, I remember when you were this. You're not worthy of what God has given you. If I listen to that, I wouldn't be where I am today. I've had other preachers tell me that I don't deserve what I have today. But you don't know my struggle. But you will see the victory. You will see what God is going to do in my life because I know who I serve. And every good thing that I have received in my life, in my ministry, it is because I have been faithful to this ministry when all others wanted to walk away. It's not fair. It's called favor. You see, my God tells me that if you just hold on just a little bit, I'll work it all out for you. But if you're going to crumble at the start of something, great. Then I don't need you. Preachers, don't let the enemy take away all that God has given you. You can stop the mess, the drama, by clinging to God. Lay folk, don't allow the enemy to destroy your faith. God has brought you thus far, and he will not drop you off. What did he tell good brother Joshua? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And just a mere 23 chapters later, Joshua told the people, choose ye whom on this day you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is asking to you to remember the days. Remember when I have seen you from one land to the other. When there were storms and waters raging against your life, and in this water there was all type of diseases and plagues and rocks and stones and knives and stabbing objects and crocodiles, and everything that wanted to devour you was in this water. But I pushed that water to the side, and I allowed you to walk on dry land. And because you walked on dry land, you were able to see the goodness of what is God saying to you? God is saying to hold on. To hold on. Third John chapter 1, verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. It's time right now that we allow our souls to prosper. Your body will fall in line. God is saying, let go. Let go of this mess. Let go of the fear. Let go of the hate. Let go of the anger. Let go of the frustration. Let go of the fatigue. Let go of the weariness. Let all of this go. Let it all go. Most of us, these people right now, we're dealing with a pandemic. If you use the common sense that God has given you, the intellect that God has given you, you will know how to keep yourself away from this pandemic. But let's talk about the pandemic. Let's talk about the virus. I tell my people at the church, I tell the ministers that I teach, I tell everybody around me, my favorite saying is every round goes higher and higher, new levels, new devils. You see, the enemy knew that something great was about to happen. The enemy knew that God was about to come in and wipe all his people clean with his mighty hand. The enemy knew that something miraculous was about to happen in the lives of God's people, and thus he tried to bring something to try to keep us down. But I'm here to let you know that this is just a milestone. This is just a stepping stone in our way, because you know there's going to be something else that's going to come right behind it, and we still going to have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We're still going to have to hold on to God, because he's the only one that's going to see us through. We're going to have to hold on, because my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what tried to attack us yesterday didn't work. What tries to attack us today won't work. And what tries to attack us tomorrow, well, we're not even going to worry about it, because my God says that I will supply all your needs according to He will supply all our needs, and all we have to do is hold on to his unchanging hand, because my God says that I will see you victorious. I will see you to the end of this. And that all you have to do is have a little faith. Hold on and never doubt. Allow me to be the head of your life. Let me do the things that I need to do in your life. And you just sit back and marvel at the process. You marvel. It's time that we let go of the struggle. Y'all heard what I said earlier in the questions that Jesus died for all of that.
Not only was he the ultimate sacrifice, but he took on his shoulders the oppression, the irritation, the frustration, the envy, the hate, the everything that's upon you, everything that's trying to stop you, everything that's trying to hold you back. Jesus has taken it and he has took it down and placed it in a pit of hell. And he doesn't want you living in hell. He desires for you to be where he is. But until that great day, we should have heaven here on earth. Jesus is not calling us to suffer. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm ready to see Jesus, but I also want to experience some of his blessings here on earth. If you think that you got to live your life suffering, no, you don't. But you got to learn how to give it over to Jesus. Give this pandemic over to Jesus. Give your life's frustrations over to Jesus. You see, I heard that just today, that it was time that I touch on this. We're going to always have something that's going to try to attack the body. But we got to also deal with the things that's trying to attack the spirit. What does God say? What does God say? Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today." God gives you everything that you need. He gives you everything that you need. He desires to give you a piece of his heaven. He desires that you would be there with him. But it starts now. You have to confess it with your mouth that you have a desire to turn away from the things that plague your heart. From the things that plague your heart. Your heart is just like an engine. Without the engine, a car cannot run. Without the beating of the heart, the body cannot function. If you put too much of that unleaded gasoline in your car, when you know that you ought to be putting high mileage gasoline and the Supreme and the Super in your car, over time, the engine is going to perform at a low pace. Same thing with this. If you put worry, if you're worrying about the fear of death and you're worrying about all these other things that's trying to come upon you, it's going to clog your heart up, and your heart is not going to be able to beat like it wants to, and thus your heart is going to become hardened, and thus sin creeps in. But what does God say? God says, "To be ye blessed, my people, for I have blessed you. I have seen you through this before, and I'll see you through it again." May God bless you. May God keep you. If you are one who is new to this and you desire to live a new life, I ask that you would pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer.
Come into my heart and into my life. Be my Lord. Teach me how to be more like you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you confess that with your heart sincerely, salvation now belongs to you. Find yourself a Bible-based church. Cling to it. Learn from it. Apply it. And teach somebody else. God bless you. Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word?
Yes, we do. We have a few people on. Brother Darius, you're up first.
Amen. Brother Darius, always a pleasure, my friend.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
I cannot complain, sir. Can't complain. Thank you.
Yeah, I probably want to say that God's, like I said, I believe God's going to restore things in due time. Because I think when this is over, I really believe this is going to be a new beginning for maybe for all these churches, every denomination to maybe fill back up and spread God's word to another level.
Amen. Amen. I 100% agree with you. I think that this here was an eye-opener for a lot of people. And because it's an eye-opener, I also agree that things are going to change. Well, here's my concern and my prayer. My prayer for this is that we don't have another situation to happen with 9/11. You see, when 9/11 happened, the churches were flooded. But the minute that everything leveled out, people went back to their way of living. So
right.
It is my prayer that things remain the same. And that means that what we then have to do as a church, we have to be willing to open up the doors and to see the needs of those that are coming in. We have to meet their needs. We have to meet them where they are. So we have to be ready, excited, ready to receive, let go of anything that's going on and be ready to receive the new people that's going to come in and love on them. We have to be ready to love on some folk, God. That's the
Amen.
Only way to keep things moving. And it's not them, it's us. We have to do it. Amen.
Amen.
It's always a pleasure, Doc. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. How's your family? How's the church going? How's everything? How's your pastor?
My family's doing well.
Good.
I think they scheduled the church having on that Zoom app, but it didn't happen today because I was watching a couple of the church services on Facebook.
Okay. Okay.
Trying to get, because usually Sunday morning I'd be at church. So I said, let me just, one of my Facebook friends invited me to watch her church service on TV, on the Facebook, and then Facebook, then on YouTube. So it was
Amen.
Good.
Excellent. Excellent. Amen. Amen. Well, we are constantly in prayer for your district, Doc. We're praying for your church, your pastor, presiding elder. We're praying for all of that, Doc, and we know that God's gonna move, brother.
Oh yes.
All right. God bless you, Doc.
God bless you.
Thank you. Hey, man, brother, Kim, do we have anybody else on?
Yes, we do. Next caller, you're up.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Welcome
Pastor
to the Jubilee
Carlson.
Affair.
This is
How you
Michelle.
Doing?
Enjoy
hey.
The word.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to start by saying you're absolutely right. The bloodline to my network is Hakim. sometimes I sit back and listen to both of you guys time and time again in regards to y'all's show, to your show. And I'm very proud to have both of you guys on my network. I just can't say enough. So when you started the show with giving homage to Hakim, I don't think people really understand what all he goes through to keep us moving. So I appreciate your praying for him and praying for us. I don't know what I'd do without him. I want to be brief and saying that God bless your family and in all that you're doing. I would like for you to, if you can, I know it's a lot and you got a lot going on, but I would appreciate it if you could get your sermons up in the group or get with Hakim to run them sometimes MP3 on the network.
Okay.
Because your message, I have listened to some of your stuff during church, and
Amen.
That message needs to come on over to the network as well. I would like for it to come on over to the network as well.
Yes, ma'am.
And it is probably better for you to do that than to preach that and then get on, have a live show, and then preach something else or something similar to it where you can just bring the message on over. So I just wanted to say that. I know that's something that I didn't have to say on air, but I wanted to – some people, I have been getting some inboxes about what is your church like, folks that's not your friend on social media and want to know a little bit more about your sermon. So if you can, work that out with Hakim to get that once a month, a couple of times a month, whatever your fancy is. In regards to that, I would appreciate it if you could share that message with us. And lastly, I'm going to read Psalms 37 tonight and meditate on your message. I also want to say that this coronavirus has really got people. I'm a little bit skeptic in regards to what Darius said about he thinks that is going to bring us together. You have it actually, from what I've been seeing and hearing, we've been going separate ways in regards to that. A lot of people wavering in their faith. Those that are believers can't believe that God could let this happen, and all these people are dying, and what kind of God is that, and so on and so forth, that kind of tone. And then we got the paranoid, quote-unquote woke people who want to believe that it's the government, you know, the experimenting and the 5G, and it's all nothing about, and where's the pastors at? I haven't heard nothing from the big churches and all this kind of stuff that's going on, dialogue. I don't see no time soon, and it's not me being negative. It's just me just kind of sitting back and looking at what's going on. What should be happening is that we should be coming together. But from what I'm seeing is it's going to take people are dying, and you still got people. I know here in Texas, a lot of these people down here is not even taking it serious. You have a lot of people running around here feeling like, oh, that's happening to them over there in cities like New York and Washington and California and stuff like that. It can never happen down here. Yet within 50 states, and not only just the United States, all over the world, people are sick and dying. This is not something that, from my research that I've come across, and I got to do a lot more research, when you have an illness or a virus like this that you can't detect whether or not a person is sick or not until they're actually sick, that's on a whole nother level. So I know we only have a limited time. I just want you to just hear what I'm saying to you and pray for those who is not taking this serious.
Amen. And we are roughly out of time, but I just want to say this to you. I remember when Elijah went to God and said that they have destroyed all your temples, they have destroyed all of your people, and I'm the only one left. God said, behold, I have a remnant waiting in the wings. So trust and believe God's going to get the glory out of this. Even though it may not look like it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Amen.
And I eagerly await that time, because we'll be able to sit back and talk about it. Amen. But on behalf of the good brother Hakim, on behalf of brother Darius and Miss Michelle and myself, this is Pastor D. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. Good night and God bless.